Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 25. And we read for our text the last part of verse 12. In the way that he shall choose. Psalm 25 and verse 12, the last part. The whole verse reads, What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And it is these words, in the way that he shall choose, that is upon my spirit. And there's four things I want to mention by way of introduction. And the first is this, that is set before us here, a sovereign God. It is not God consulting with man and deciding what he is going to do and when he is going to do it, but he sovereignly decides. It is in the way that he shall choose, not ourselves. It may be there's things before those of you here, and you may think, well, it is with me to choose. And the lot, in one sense, is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And it is the comfort of God's people to find that even though they have made a decision or ventured in a way, that they look back and they see the Lord's providential, ordering, guiding hand, and are convinced of this, that he has chosen for us. We read that he shall choose our inheritance for us. Now, many people, they don't like the idea of a sovereign God. But one of the lines of our hymn writer, he says, A sovereign God I wish to see. And those of you in affliction or trial, whatever you've been through in your lives, may be you able to look back and you thank the Lord that he has chosen, not you, the path and all that you've been through. In the way that he shall choose. The second thing is this. Whenever we speak of the way or a way, my mind always goes to the words of our Lord. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And do remember that, dear friends. Whatever way you might be seeking, is this right? Should I go here or there? What shall I do? If you and I are one of the sheep of the Lord, we'll want to follow the Master and want to be in the footsteps of the flock, want to go where the Lord's dear people are. You want to keep him in view in all things, because he is the way. No, he doesn't give, as it were, like someone saying, well, how can you get from here through to London, and drawing out a map for them to go with? It's like someone saying, I'm not going to give you a map. You just follow me. And every step of the way, you think, if I lose sight of them, you know what it is, if someone says you follow me, you remember the car number plate, and you think, well, if I lose sight of that car, I don't know where I am. And you know you've got to keep following them. Well, the Lord says this before his people, I am the way. You be a follower of me. And so when we come to a text like this, in the way that he shall choose, I remember the Lord, I am the way. God has chosen that way. But then thirdly, we have, this is speaking of those that fear the Lord. What man is he that feareth the Lord? The scriptures set forth how important it is that we fear the Lord. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In Malachi chapter 3, we read there of the Lord's controversy with his people, the things that they were doing, the ways that they were walking that were not right. And he ascribed it to the fact that they did not fear God. And then he speaks of a remnant. And he says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and that a book of remembrance was written for them that feared his name, that thought upon his name. What a difference. The psalmist, I think it says, that says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my soul, there is no fear of God before his eyes. The fear of God is not a slavish fear, it's a filial fear. It's a fear like a child would have to a parent, that the child knows that parent loves them. They'll ever do that which is good for them. And even if they do things that are wrong and that grieve the parent, they won't be thrown out the house. They'll be chastened, they'll be corrected, but they'll be loved. Whenever the Lord blesses the church, he gives the gift and the blessing of the fear of the Lord. He did when David was bringing up the ark to Jerusalem. He brought it up wrong first, following the pattern of the Philistines on a new cart, instead of on the shoulders of the Levites. And the Lord struck Uzzah and he died. And David feared to bring up the ark. It turned aside to the house of Obed-Edom, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And when the Lord heard, when David heard that, he then brought up the ark. On the one hand, the Lord could strike Uzzah dead. On the other hand, he could bless the house of Obed-Edom. The hymn writer says, my soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. It was so in the New Testament as well. Because with the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead for lying to the apostles, to the Holy Ghost. But the apostle Paul, Saul as he was, hailing men and women to prison, all who called upon the name of the Lord, was not struck dead. He was converted and was blessed. The sovereignty of the Lord, and especially the fear of the Lord, in the face of Jesus Christ, for in the Lord Jesus Christ is that power of Almighty God to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And as we gather in the Lord's house, may there be that real sense of in the presence of a God who hears, who sees, who knows our thoughts, who is not mocked, a God who sets before us the gospel, the good news of salvation, and that we might truly desire that blessing in our own soul, not be indifferent to it or careless to it or treat it lightly or tread upon it with disdain, but really have that desire, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. We have not power to bring down a blessing on our own soul, but we can ask the Lord to do it. And the very asking of the Lord to do it, the Lord gives that to his dear people. But may we venture in that and beg of it, that he would bless our souls with his salvation. So remember that, the very first, as it were, blessing is the fear of the Lord. A real sense of the presence and majesty and might and power of God. this blessing here, this word of our text, is to those that fear the Lord. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And the last thing, by way of introduction, the Lord's covenant promise is to teach his children. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, great shall be the peace of thy children. It is the Lord's promise, and it is an evidence, a scriptural evidence of being one of his children, and we may say with our text, an evidence also of fearing his name. The one teacher is the Holy Spirit. He shall teach, he shall guide, he shall instruct. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he reveal unto you. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The person of the Holy Spirit is indispensable for the teaching of the people of God. Bless God for a teachable spirit and for discerning even one lesson in the school of Christ. It's a great blessing to realize that the Lord is our teacher, because he will never forsake his work of his own hands. He will continue that work which he has begun. We wouldn't think of a teacher to a child at school just beginning to teach and then saying, well, you've learnt one or two lessons, you don't need any more. The provision in our education system is to bring them through so that they're able to lead useful and fulfilling lives. For the Lord's teaching is that his people are brought to heaven with himself. They are brought from complete and utter darkness and ignorance to a true saving knowledge of the Lord and all of the blessings of salvation. They may remember that promise of the Lord and that covenant. And those of you who may feel ignorant here, may feel to so lack an understanding of the scriptures or anything of the things of God, you might come in with the eunuch and have to answer that question. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I, except some man guide me? You turn it into a prayer. Lord, teach me. Teach me about thee. Well, here then is our text. In the way that he shall choose. I didn't want to just confine it to teaching. And so it is just these last words. In the way that he shall choose. Well, I want to look at it in three ways. Firstly, the way is chosen by God. That is the way itself. Chosen by God. In the way that he shall choose. Secondly, his people are taught while they are in the way. He shall teach in the way that he shall choose. And then thirdly, the Lord shall choose what way he teaches, how he teaches, what manner he uses. So firstly, the way is chosen by God. Now there's two main heads to look at under this. The first is salvation. The way of salvation is chosen by God in the way that he shall choose. When man fell and brought Adam and Eve, they brought all their posterity with them in that fall, the Lord had already foreseen, provided, made provision of a way of salvation, a way of deliverance from the consequences of the fall. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But already the provision was made that life, eternal life, might be given. And that way was chosen by God. We read of God's people that they are chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world, and that the Lord Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord himself has devised that way of salvation and gave it intimated in the first promise that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. So we say in that verse, this is the way, this is the plan of salvation. There shall come one of the seed, one of the descendants, not of Adam, but of the woman, and that it shall be the Saviour, that shall be the way that man shall be saved and delivered from death. And every part of salvation is ordered by God. He chose when Christ should come, how he should come, of what tribe he should come, and what nation he should come of. Everything was all ordered. It's beautiful to see it in the scriptures. You read the history of Israel. You say, is there a pattern to it? One king rises, another king comes, and one is taken away. All, some slain in one way, some die in peace. Some serve the Lord, some not. And then you find in Matthew, they've looked at it and the Holy Spirit says, no, there's a perfect order here. 14 generations from Abraham to David. 14 generations from David to the carrying away of the children of Israel into Babylon. 14 generations from Babylon unto Christ. A perfect order and a plan. And when the Lord came, he knew the way. The disciples heard the preaching of our Lord. But those two on the way to Emmaus, they said, we trusted. It should have been he that should have redeemed Israel. Beside all these things, it is the third day that the Lord knew the way. And he gently reproved them. And then showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The way of salvation was a suffering Saviour. The way of salvation was a substitution that was shown to Abraham. Isaac taken off the altar. The ram put in his place. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And he did. But that was chosen by God. How many times have we read the word of God and read that plan of salvation and every aspect of it? That was chosen by God. That was appointed by God. The Lord said, the Son of Man goeth as it was appointed. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Again and again at the crucifixion it was reaffirmed that the scripture might be fulfilled because God had chosen and foretold. Our Lord said, I tell you before that when it come to pass ye may know that I am he. The way of salvation is chosen by God. And so at the day of Pentecost, Peter, he charged them with the death of the Lord. And he says, he who was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain. No, it was not the Jews. It was not the Romans They were not in control. God was in control. The wickedness was theirs. But the Lord's overruling that wickedness for good was the Lord's honour and the Lord's glory. Man thinks that he is rising up against the Lord and he is in control. Who is the Lord, says Pharaoh, that I should serve him? And the Lord says, for this purpose have I raised thee up, to show forth my power and glory in thee. The Lord in control. But this comes also in salvation in each sinner's heart as well. God does not just choose the appointing of a Saviour, but appoints also he shall ascend up into heaven and the Spirit be given. I must needs go away. If I go not away, the Holy Spirit shall not come unto you. But when he has come, he will teach you all things. And that came to pass at Pentecost. But the way for each child of God, he decreed, says the hymn writer, the very place where he would show triumphant grace. Time to be born, a time to die. He who fixed my first and second birth, bless God, if we have already been partaken of the second birth, if not, may it be a real concern for us. To die without the second birth is to die eternally lost and unsaved. The Lord then has chosen for his people that inheritance for them, and when he shall call them, when he shall quicken them, when he shall reveal his beloved Son in them, that way of salvation, that he should decree that his people remain in a body of death. They remain here below, even when they are saved, when they are called, and that through their life they are assailed by the world, by their own wicked heart, by Satan, but nevertheless they will get home safely to glory, because the Lord is their captain, and he will give grace to help in every time of need. The Lord has chosen this way, that he doesn't just convert his people and take them straight to heaven. He leaves them here as the salt of the earth, as the light that is to shine in this benighted world, to show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of nature's darkness and into his marvellous light. It is the Lord that has chosen that way of salvation in the church of God, appointed the churches, the ministers, the elders. All of that is chosen by God in the way to save his people, to edify them, to feed them, to instruct them, to keep them, and to give them that fellowship and union one to another, in the way that he shall choose. May we have a fresh view from this afternoon of all of that glorious plan that may be up to now, or perhaps we've just drifted into it. We've treated with careless indifference. We've just read the scriptures and not noticed there that this wonderful plan of salvation and saving his people is all ordered by God. You know, it'll make us think differently of the church, of our gathering together, of the ministry, of the word, of the prayer meetings. It'll change everything, because suddenly we see this is not man's device. This is God's appointment. This is God's house. This is the Lord's way. This is the Lord's plan. May it be used of the Lord to freshen our very view of everything. It's good to do with the house of God and the brethren of God. In the way that he shall choose, in a way of salvation. The other way is the way of providence. That is what happens in our lives. Providence and grace, or the way of salvation for God's people, are inseparable. They're joined together. Those things that happen, they fall out to the furtherance of the gospel. And we are to remember that. That it is the Lord that appoints where we should go. There's a reproof in James. Those that say we should go into a certain city and buy and get gain and come again. Whereas you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. It doesn't mean that we are fatalistic and say, well, there's nothing that we can do, or what will be, because the Lord has said he will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And we have that beautiful promise. And we read it there in Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I'll guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. With them the rider sees the way that the horse is to go, and by pulling the reins, the horse's head is turned and it goes that way. In other words, they're just forced. But if we had a horse and we took off the bridle and we said, right, the rider is just going to speak to the horse, he's just going to say, left at the next turn, right at the next, that is how I'm going to guide this horse, we would think that to be a foolish thing. But the Lord says with his people, he won't force them, he will speak to them. He will direct them by his word. He will show them the way that they are to go. And so our providences, our lives are in his hand. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. May we remember that. Sometimes we might say these things and don't really understand them. Remember one employment that I had here, and when I went for the interview and he was going to give me the job, and I said, well, I want to make this clear that I do not want to work on the Lord's day at all. He turned to me and said, do you believe in providence? Well, this was from a man that I thought was perhaps a worldly employer. And I said, yes, I certainly do. He said, well, he said, whose application do you think was first on my desk this morning? I said, well, probably mine. He said, yes, it was. He said, I believe the Lord is telling me to employ you. He says, I am the church warden at Wharton-Bury. And he testified on that. He could see in the Lord's hand how the Lord was directing him to employ me. But then his own wife, a year or so later, she was relating to me their daughter that had gone to London, and she hadn't got enough money for the fare to get back. She only got enough to get part way. She got off the train and she went to call her mother on the phone, and she just got enough for the phone call. But when she got to the phone, someone else had been there before and money had been returned, and there was enough money lying in the phone reject thing to get the fare home. And she said, well, wasn't that lucky? I said, well, there's nothing about luck on that. That was God's providence. The Lord provided for her fare in that way. And she couldn't see it. She couldn't see it at all. And sometimes we can be like that. We can think we see God's providence in one thing, but in something else we completely overrule it and say, no, the Lord's hand is not in that. That's not his hand. But the minutest thing, the smallest thing, the hairs of our head are all numbered. A sparrow cannot fall without the Lord. Always remember that. At Church Farm, where we were staying once, and I was feeling very low in Kent there, and I walked across the field, across the graveyard actually, my head down, bowed down. I came across a dead sparrow, and I stopped and I looked at that sparrow, As if the Lord spoke to me, that sparrow could not be there without me. That sparrow had fallen, the Lord knew it was there. There was me thinking I was out of the Lord's sight, he cast me out of his sight, I was so low. And you know that so picked me up, the Lord is here. That sparrow could not have fallen without the Lord. He that will watch providence will never lack a providence to watch. Watch the Lord's hand. In Psalm 107, we read, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The way then is chosen by God, the way of salvation, the way of providence, the way you and I are to walk. And this is especially said of those that fear God, the Lord's dear people. There is a special providence, a special blessings upon them. And I say that deliberately, because if you are able to see the Lord choosing in your life, you say, I would have gone that way, but the Lord chose that way. You might be like the Apostle Paul. I prayed that the thorn in the flesh might be taken away. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The trial, the affliction is still there, but the Lord has given me grace to bear it. The Apostle Paul said, much rather then would I glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest on me. When I am weak, then am I strong. Whenever the Lord makes a choice for his people, you can be sure there will come a time, maybe not at first, that they will approve that choice as the right choice and the right way. Choose thou the way and still lead on will be our language. And so realizing it is a specific blessing, a special blessing for the people of God to see those things all lining up and working together for good. Remember, Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And we notice that there might be those of you who come seeking a token for good this afternoon. And maybe the Lord has already given you these tokens. You've already seen these things working for good. The Lord choosing in your life and mapping out your path. May you notice it. Lay it up before the Lord. And the Lord shine upon it, put his seal upon it. This is my work and my hand. And this is why I've wrought it in your life, because you are one of my dear people. Well, secondly, his people are taught while they are in the way. Now, by way of illustrating what I mean, when I was 16 and I left school and I went into an apprenticeship, fitting and turning, maintenance fitter in the hospital. And for 4 years I worked and I learnt. We had 3 days working at the hospital and 1 day in trade school. So as I was working, so I was being taught. Another way of being taught, and which seems to be more favoured today, is someone will leave school and they'll go to further education, they'll go to university, and they won't be earning, they won't be working as they are learning, they're just learning and learning and learning, and then they get their degree, and then they start to work and apply the lessons that they have learned over the last 4 or 5 years. Well, in our text here, it's like the apprenticeship way, because the Lord says that the way that he shall teach in the way that he shall choose. And our text is in the way that he shall choose. Not outside of it. Not learning of it first and then being put in it. But actually learning as we go along. That is by experience and actually proving it as we go. And I'll bring this before you as a specific encouragement. You know, there may be those, and I think there are those churches that teach virtually, well, you've got to learn the way of salvation, you've got to be taught all about it. And when you've come to a specific level of knowledge, then you know you're saved. Well, you're born again then. But you know, when the Lord first began with me, he opened mine eyes, he showed me what a sinner I was and how ignorant I was. I well remember that very time when the Lord did that. That is when he gave me eternal life. That is when he gave me the new birth. That is when he changed my life profoundly. But at that time I had not assurance. I did not know the Lord. I did not know many of the doctrines and ways of salvation at all. Not at all. But the Lord gave me life, spiritual life. I went from hating the house of God to only going there as a sufferance to wanting to go whenever they met together. In the week, prayer meetings, Sunday schools, whatever it was I could attend where they gathered together, I did. The Lord gave a hearing ear and an appetite and a teachable spirit. When did I start to be in the way? I was in the way when the Lord put me in, when he first quickened me into life. Once I was in that way as a living soul, then he taught me in the way. May that be an encouragement to some of you here who say, I'm so ignorant. I do not yet have assurance of salvation. I do not yet know many of the things of God. But is the Lord teaching you in the way? He has put you in the way, in that you know you are not now what you once were. You now have a concern for your soul. You now want to hear the ministry. You now love the people of God. You now cleave to those things you once hated and rejected. And while in that way, the Lord is then teaching you line upon line, here a little and there a little. In the way, what an encouragement that is. Is not setting a standard, is not setting, well, you must know so much. Or you've been so many years in it. As soon as there is a starting in the way, when you've come in, the Lord says, I am the door. That straight gate, that narrow way that leadeth unto life, and the entrance is through the Lord, Jesus Christ alone. Once entered into it, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So bless the Lord. If the Lord is teaching you actually in the way, and be able to discern this, that you're not out of the way, you are in the way. In the way that he should choose. Well, lastly then, the third point. The Lord shall choose what way he teaches. How he teaches. Again, I'd use the illustration, my own apprenticeship. When I began apprenticeship. I'd already achieved a lot at trade school, a bit of a know-all really. It must have been really hard to teach at the beginning. But you know, my boss, he knew what I was like. And he gave me just one job at a time. And I said, well, you know, when I finish that one, what do I do next? He said, no, just do one. Just do it like this. He'd show me exactly how to do it. And then I had to do it. And then I'd go back and ask him for the next job. And so it was very much a teaching. It wasn't saying, well, here is a job. You do it the best way you can and you work out how to do it. No, he showed me exactly how to do it and I had to copy him and then do it myself. Sometimes he did give me several jobs when I pressed him and then I forgot by the time I got to the second one what I should do. But it was good training and for 3 years kept me under very close rein, as it were. Didn't give me much leeway for thinking my own way at all. I had to think how he thought and do as he did. And it came to the 4th year of my apprenticeship. And then I started to go to ask him something. He said, no. He said, stop. He said, 3 years I've taught you. Before ever you come to me again, he said, you think of what I've taught you and you do it as I've taught you. And I realized I do know. I do know what to do. And so then that last year I could put into practice. Now, my fitter, he had chosen out that way of teaching me. And I blessed the Lord for him. It was a good, good grounding, a good way. But people have different methods and different ways. And the Lord has a way that he teaches his people, sometimes different between them. But it is the Lord that chooses out the way that he is going to teach them, not us. Sometimes we can be like Naaman, who though he so wants to be healed of his leprosy, has already formed in his mind how Elisha is going to do that. He's going to come out and he's going to call upon his God and do something so wonderful. But he doesn't. Elisha just sends a messenger and says, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And he's offended because Elisha is not doing the way that he thought he would. And we need to be mindful of that. Don't be offended when the Lord chooses to teach you in a different way than what you thought he would. Because there's many things the Lord teaches his people. The Lord is to teach his people their sinnership, their inability, their pride, their rashness, their foolishness. He's to teach them the preciousness of Christ, the blessings of grace, the need of faith. All these things are to be taught by God. How does he teach? How does he instruct them? Well, one of the ways that he teaches is by the word. Now we can look into creation and we can see that there is a God. It testifies that there is a God. But it's only through the word of God that we understand the doctrines of salvation and about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is taught us through the word of God. To the law, to the testimony, if they speak not according to these things, it is because there is no life in them. When the Lord resisted Satan, it was every time it is written, it is through the word of God. And so if you and I are taught by God, we can be sure of this. He will teach us through his word. And with that in mind as well, he'll teach through the ministry. Ministry is not just to be, you might say, a ministry of experience. It is to be a blend of a teaching ministry and also of experience. That which applies to our lives. The people of God are to be thoroughly furnished They are to be grounded in the truth. They are to know why they believe what they believe. Otherwise Satan will come, and as he did with the Galatian church, and turn them away and bring them back to the law and cause them to receive a gospel which the apostle says is not a gospel at all. You thought it was, but it's not. And so he needed to correct them. And so the ministry is to instruct and to feed and to be made a blessing. It hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's one of the chosen ways of God, that God will raise up a poor sinner who's got a soul himself, who must one day die, who must stand before God, who must give an account not only of his own soul but his ministry as well, and that one who has already gone through these things and able to speak what he's handled and tasted and felt of it, and to stand before men and to speak and expound the word of God and to speak of what he has handled and tasted and felt, and the Lord will bless that, savingly bless that. Own and bless the ministry that he's laid upon his servants. Wonderful way we see that with the eunuch being blessed under Philip's ministry, because Philip, he begins at the same scripture and preaches unto him Jesus, expounds the Old Testament, brings in the new, shows him where Christ is. The Lord did the same on the way to Emmaus. And that is what the Lord blessed. In the way that he shall choose. We know the Lord has chosen that way, and there are those of you here, and bless God there are, that are saying, I know the Lord has chosen that way, because he has blessed my soul in that way. I would certainly not, I'd go against how the Lord has taught me in some ways, to say that the Lord only teaches through that way, for the Lord only blesses in that way. We read when Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and he says of them that he has directed their hearts. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. It's a blessed thing that the Lord hath power over the heart of man. Dear Job, he said, he maketh my heart soft. And where the Lord directs his people and their hearts, inclining their hearts after him, whose heart the Lord had opened. Lydia, that's how he dealt with her. All of those that are blessed, it's a heart work. And the Lord has power upon a heart. Hymn writer says, my heart will move at his command. Have you proved it, poor soul, that your hard heart can move at his command? Those are sacred, those are blessed times where he does it, and sometimes most unexpectedly makes your heart a sluice and softens you under his grace and under his word. Another way is, as we spoke, and with the example of the apprenticeship, it is by experience. The Lord has a lesson for his people, perhaps to humble them. So he brings them into a place where they do something foolish. They make a wrong decision. And all their thoughts of their pride and their wisdom are swept away. They're ashamed. They're ashamed before the people of God. They're ashamed before the world. And the Lord in that way teaches them humility. You know, the Lord with his apostles, he asked them once, what was it? What was it you were talking with, by the way? The Lord knew what they were talking. You know, they didn't answer him. You know why? They were all trying to decide who was the greatest among them. So the Lord took a little child, put him in the midst. Whosoever will be humbled like this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And those apostles all had to be humbled. When the Lord was crucified, they all forsook him and fled. How humbling for every one of them to remember that. Peter, three times to say that he knew not the man. How humbling to remember that all the way through his life. I denied my Lord and Master, and with oaths and curses, three times. There may be those of you here, and you think back 20, 30 years, certainly I can. And there are things that the remembrance of things I've done and said causes me pain. And it stops my mouth, takes away pride. That's the sort of man you are. That's what you're like. And there are things I've walked through, and the Lord has ordered those experiences and those pathways to lay us in the dust. That's not taught just in the head. He's actually walked that way. And all your knowledge of sin and the evil of your heart won't be just learning about it just in a book. You'll actually feel it here on my heart. The burden lies past offences, pain my eyes. So the Lord teaches by experience. Remember that. And don't be ashamed that the Lord lead you in paths that lead you ashamed of yourself and humbled and laid low. Pride is a great enemy of the people of God, and the Lord knows how to bring us down. I say certainly that that will feature in the teaching and in the way that the Lord chooses to deal his people. Then also by chastening and affliction. We're told that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. We're told also that the Lord chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. It is bound up with the people of God that they shan't be thrown out of the covenant, out of the family of God, but the Lord will correct them. And wherever he corrects them, they will know the reason why, because he has already warned them and they've not taken any notice. Because they haven't taken notice, then he lays on the rod. The lash is steeped, he on thee lays, yet softened in his blood. Again I'd say, I've only just touched upon some of the ways the Lord teaches, or those things he leads in providence, in grace, but it is in the way that he shall choose. And we'll be able to discern this. This is from the Lord's hand. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. To see that it is his hand. And that is the comfort to the people of God. And may it be that there are those of you here made willing. And you say, Lord, in this thing before me, in this that I shrink back from, in this that I don't feel able, I don't feel sufficient unto this thing, but as it is in the way that thou shalt choose, then choose thou the way, but still lead on. Enable me to follow thee. Enable me to go in thy way. How blessed it is to realize that we are found in the Lord's ways and found following him and will be with him at last in the way that he shall choose. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.